Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's my pleasure and my honor to be able to bring the Word of God to you again today, Sunday, April 26th. And I don't know where you are right now, whether you're at home, whether you're traveling in your car and listening to this. I pray that it'll bring God's blessing to your heart. We're just going to open in a word of prayer. Father, help us. Help us, Lord God. Help every listener, Lord, and prepare their hearts, Lord, like fertile soil to receive good seed. And Father, help me to preach exactly what you would have me to say today. Father, I just pray that, Lord, you would bless every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My sermon today is called The Worst or the Best of Days. Of course, we're still making our way through this COVID-19 pandemic, and I know that it is troubling days and causes us great concern. We hear bits of good news followed by bits of bad news, and it's hard to know where we're at in all of this thing. And so, in response to that, I believe that this week, I was doing my devotions and I came across the verse, Psalm number 4, verse 8. And so I went and I studied that chapter, Psalm 4, and I decided that that was a message that God would have me bring to you today. So if you have your Bibles and you're not driving, then open them up and read along with me. If you're driving, then just listen and I'll read it for you. In times like these, though, we have to remember there have always been times like these. Now, you may ask, how can that be true? Because obviously, there's not always a pandemic. I remember an old song that was around when I'd first come to the Lord. I heard it a few times. I looked it up. It was actually written in 1942 during the Second World War. And the song is called Jesus is Coming Soon. The opening line says, "Troublesome times are here." It goes like this. "Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake." Well, many people are forced to stay at home now, and that's an inconvenience. There are others who are facing real difficulties and some even death. It may seem like the world has stopped, but I can assure you that life has carried on at the same pace. It's important to remember that when your life is in crisis, that's all that matters. When there is a health crisis in your family, it's little consolation if your neighbor is enjoying cake and ice cream. It turns out we all experience crisis in a personal way. And a personal crisis happens every day of every year through every decade to someone. I remember the day that my mother-in-law died. It was the 8th of December, 1989, and the day was cold and frosty, and the sun was shining, and it was a beautiful day. It didn't seem right that it was a beautiful day. It didn't seem right that the world was going along normally and merrily when I was feeling so broken and angry. It was personal. I remember the December the 19th, 2002, when the policeman came to my door and told me my daughter was in critical care in London. And I remember the hospital telling me she might not live through the night. It was a crisis for me, and it was personal. Can you remember where you are on that day? Probably having a mundane, ordinary day, and for that, you can praise God. So I want to remind you, it has always been times like these, every day, since the beginning of creation, for someone. You were simply unaware and unconcerned about their loss and their pain. 850 people have died of COVID in Ontario so far. For their families, it's the worst of times. But 3,500 to 5,000 people die of the regular flu in Canada every year. It's normal. But for their families, that's the worst of times. Beloved, you may pass through this COVID-19 pandemic unscathed, but make no mistake. The best of times and the worst of times are for you still possibly ahead. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 4. I'm going to read all 8 verses, the entire psalm, and then we're going to go back, and I want to go verse by verse over what David is trying to say to us today. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Verse 2, O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Verse 6, many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up your countenance upon us, O Lord. Verse 7, you have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. Verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. These are troubling and distressing days. And King David had his days when King Saul was chasing him with his army and trying to catch him and kill him. He was sleeping in the fields and the caves. David calls out to God and he says, answer me when I call. Is that our first concern? If we love him, he is, and if he is all that he says he is, he will answer. When I'm in trouble, will he answer? When I'm lonely, will he answer? When my child is sick, will he answer? When my marriage is in trouble, will he answer? When I fail and I sin, will he answer? O God of my righteousness. David actually calls him by his name, Jehovah Tidiskenu. O God of my righteousness, you save me from my sin. You've forgiven me and given me my righteousness. Lord, you who saved me have relieved me in the past of my distress. God, you are my Savior and my helper and my peace, and I call out to you to hear my prayer. David's doing what we all need to do in troubling times. One, thank God for his salvation. Two, thank him for his past help. And three, thank him that his peace that he has given to you. That's how we should open our prayers. We're thanking him, but we're also reminding ourselves, like that old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. Then David asks three questions of the ungodly person. How long will my honor be a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless? And how long will you aim to deceive? Oh, you've heard it before. The ungodly, the unrighteous, you've heard them talk. Oh, he's religious. Oh, she doesn't drink beer. Oh, they don't go to parties. Oh, they think they're better than everyone else. And they use your godliness as a reproach. How long will the ungodly reproach the godly? Because they try to live godly lives? For as long as they live apart from God. That's how long. It started in the Garden of Eden, when Cain killed his brother Abel. And it hasn't stopped since. The ungodly don't like it when your life shows that their choices are self-destructive. They want you to join them and make them feel better about their ungodly choices. And so they resent you for not joining them. How long will you love what is worthless is the next question. Regrettably, this question can be asked of all of us because we all struggle against the desires of our carnal nature. Paul warns us in the letter to the Romans, the things of the Spirit war against the things of the flesh, and vice versa. We must realize we're drawn away from God by our own carnal nature, and we must fight the good fight by feeding our spirit and seeking God's face. How long, his next question, how long will you aim to deceive? Today, as in every day, the devil is lying. Jesus called the devil the father of lies. In fact, Jesus said that lying was the devil's native tongue. And the Pharisees, who would not believe Jesus, said he told them that they were the sons of the devil. Today, those who reject Jesus' claim of lordship on their lives are the slaves of sin and the children of the devil, and lying is their native tongue. They speak lies when the truth would do just as well. How long will they aim to deceive? As long as they reject Jesus. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart and upon your bed and be still. The Lord has set apart the godly man or woman for himself, and he does hear them. This is a great comfort. If you will serve him, he has taken you out of the herd. It brought to mind a museum that we went to in Alberta near Fort McLeod. And this museum was called the Head Smashed Inn Buffalo Jump. It's where the Blackfoot Indians used to gather, and they would chase the buffalo over the cliff. It was a lot easier than hunting them with bow and arrow. Chase them over the cliff, they would fall to their death, and then they could be harvested. Use them for food and tools and clothing. The Blackfoot would dress in wolf skins and frighten the buffalo into a stampede. The Blackfoot were deceiving the buffalo, and they chased the herd to his death. Today, the devil and his children are trying to frighten people as if they were buffalo and use their fear to control them for their own benefit. It's an old trick. The communists have always used it in their communist countries, and many politicians try to use the same trick today to cause people to fear in order to control them. But the Lord has set apart for himself godly people. And we know God's word and his voice so that we are not controlled by the many contradictory voices in the culture. The Lord does hear when I call him. The Lord does guide us in our lives so that we are neither the herd running toward our doom nor the fringe grasping onto every conspiracy. This world's a dangerous place, which is filled with false information. I recall that when we were in Russia, I learned that the communist government wrote the Russian Encyclopedia. And in that encyclopedia, the Pentecostals were said to, it said right there, it was an article on Pentecostals, they were a cult that drank human blood. In spite of 70 years of communist persecution and terror and murder, though, they failed to eliminate faith in Christ in the Soviet Union. The use of false information or disinformation has always been the tool of the devil. We should not be surprised by it. As believers, we must guard ourselves, though, from being pulled away from our focus of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. It is so easy to be distracted, and many are the false teachers who began to gather followers to themselves and build their own little kingdoms, even under the name of Christ. It is all the same to the devil so long as you don't exalt Jesus in your everyday life. He doesn't care what you talk about so long as it isn't about how Jesus saved you and changed your life. But the Lord has set us apart for himself. He has already done it. So love the Lord and follow him and him alone. Verse 4, tremble and do not sin, meditate on your bed and be still. This world can be a frightening place, and this life can be full of troubles, but God calls us to react to that fear by meditating on him, and by that we will avoid sin. Christians react to their fears in every generation. But when we react to fears, and we come up with our own plans, that leads to sin. Stop. Do not let fear be your guide. Fear is sin. Fear is the opposite of faith in God. Fear is saying, I have no confidence in me or in God. For the believer to say in your heart, I don't know if God will come through for me, is to deny God's promise for you, is to agree with the devil, is to live as a hypocrite, and is to live in anxiety. Believe God or do not believe God. Those are the only two choices. Billy Graham had a moment of crisis early in his life when he understood that was the only question. When he understood he would live by faith or he would live by sight. Why did he preach with such confidence when so many had wandered through the swamps of doubt? Billy Graham understood there was one question which would decide all other questions: to live by faith or to live by sight. Which would he believe? God's word or man's word? Peace through trouble or fear and anxiety at every turn? Which way do you decide today? You choose the path you will travel, faith or sight. You choose the path and your journey and your destination with that one decision. Friends, when you buy an airplane ticket, you have already chosen your destination and your comfort level. That ticket, that one decision, decides whether you're going to be in economy class or in business class, and it decides where you're going. Once you are on board your plane, there is no use hoping you will land in Cancun if the plane is headed to Vladivostok. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. And verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. David's answer to troubling times and lying adversaries and fearful futures is clear. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. And it is a sacrifice, because the seed of righteousness takes time to germinate and grow and bear fruit. It is a sacrifice. And it does take trust, because sinners often prosper. The naysayers are always saying, who can show us any good? So ignore them and look to God. See His mercy. See His grace. See His kindness and generosity. And see His beauty. God will put gladness in your heart if you will trust and obey. In fact, the gladness that He gives is greater than any success of the ungodly. They always need one more success. They always need one more purchase. A little bigger house and a little better car and a little trimmer body and a little better holiday. The hunger never fades. But the joy of the Lord is fresh every day. His mercies are new every morning. His blessings come out of His boundless supply. Here's the clincher. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. Many lie down and do not sleep, but the man or woman whose confidence is in God and not in themselves is able to sleep and be blessed and strengthened by that rest. Why? Because that man or woman, that boy or girl, knows that the Lord alone makes us to dwell in safety. But what about the economy? He makes us to dwell in safety. What about the pandemic? He makes us to dwell in safety. What about my mortgage? What about my old mother? What about my miserable neighbor? What about my marriage? He makes us to dwell in safety. You will believe it by faith or not. But the choice affects every other choice. It is your path and your destination. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God, saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore, when we meet on that shore, freedom from care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, homeward they then shall fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon, many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Father, we just close our eyes and bow our hearts right now, Lord, and ask you, God, all the anxiety and the fear and the care and the concerns, Lord, for the future, for our health, for our finances, for our families. Lord, we take all that fear and we just place it at you. Lord, you show us good. You shine your countenance on us. And Lord, we know that you alone make us to dwell in safety. We will both lie down and sleep in the care of your heart. In Jesus' name,